Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Edmonton Eskimo Season Preview Call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Lucas Barrett. Please go ahead, Mr. Barrett.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Edmonton Eskimos Season Preview Call today. We are joined today with Eskimos Vice President of Football Operations and General Manager Brock Sutherland, Head Coach Jason Moss, and Quarterback Mike Riley. On today's call, we're going to go straight to Q&As. Operator, if you could go through the process of asking the media to please ask a question, that'd be perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barrett. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star one at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Don Rolfe of the Canadian Press. Please proceed.
Okay, I'll start by asking one for all three in line. But Brock, you've been on the job now for roughly a month. I'm wondering how life as a GM is treating you.
I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it. It's actually been 15 days, so not quite a month yet.
Oh, jeez. Sorry, I didn't mean to push the clock.
That's all right. No, it's. I keep saying this, and I mean it. The reputation of the organization precedes itself, and high standards, but it's been surpassed. Everybody here has been extremely warm and welcoming, and made this transition extremely easy for me.
Great. Now, if I could switch gears to Mike, and I'm wondering, Mike, last year, you know, the club had a good year, 10-8, but it wasn't enough to get you into the West playoffs. And I'm wondering if you've had time to reflect on how tough it is to try and win when you're the crossover team.
Well, to answer the first part of your question, you know, 10-8 was definitely not what we would consider, you know, the successful season that we wanted. You know, we are always going to try to position ourselves as the first team in the West, get the bye week, and then play at home and win one and get into the Grey Cup. So that being said, I don't really care how you get into the playoffs. You always have a chance to win it once you're in there. So our fate was to go through the East. And at that point, you know, records don't mean anything, you know, and we just got beat by a team that was the better team that particular day. You know, they outplayed us, you know, in their stadium, and they were well deserving of that win. And obviously they were a great football team. They were the Grey Cup champions. But, you know, every year our ultimate goal is to win the Grey Cup. Don't really care how that happens, but it's certainly easier to do it when you're hosting in your own stadium than when you're traveling on the road. So, you know, when I look back on last season, there was a lot of things that we did really, really well. There was a lot of things that we need to improve on. We've certainly taken a lot of steps during this off season to address those issues. You know, and to be quite honest, we didn't come out of the gates extremely fast. And, you know, we were playing some very good football in the last, you know, half to two thirds of the season, but it makes it more challenging when you don't play as well as you're capable of in the first third of the season. So every year you want to get off to a good start, set yourself up well. This year is going to be no different. But, you know, certainly it is an easier path when you stay in your own division, and that's always our plan.
And if I may follow up with Jason, please. I mean, Mike touched upon something that I wanted to ask you. And I mean, what sort of improvements would you like to see in 2017 collectively from your squad?
Big things. I mean, discipline on the field. Our penalty situation was not where I'd want it to be, speaking from a head coach's point of view. And then obviously turnovers and turnover ratio and things like that. You know, we could be better in those two facets. But as a team that went through a whole coaching change, some different players and whatnot, I feel like that's a strength going into this season is we've got the coaching staff together. We got players in our system that know each other, played well together, been successful together. Our core group of guys are still here. Very excited about that. But if I could say the two things I'd like to see improve upon is the discipline and getting better with the turnovers.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star one on your telephone keypad if you have a question. The next question is from Jeff Creever of CFL.ca. Please proceed.
Gentlemen, thanks for your time this afternoon. I just want to ask a question each for Mike and for Coach Moss. It's about the newly appointed offensive coordinator, Carson Walsh. First of all, Mike, what's he like as a coach to work with, and are you excited to work alongside him? I know you've had 2 years working with him, but if you could provide a little bit of insight.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Carson's first season was last year, so this will be his second season with the Edmonton Eskimos. But, you know, I'm excited, you know, to get to work with him again. You know, the way that we operated last year, you know, was different than anything I had been a part of in my career as a quarterback. Being able to sit in on the game plan meetings and, you know, just be a part of the entire process. I think for me personally as a player, it helped a lot with my understanding of what we were trying to do each and every week. And it just helped to better prepare me, for each and every game. In terms of Carson and his personality, he's fiery. You know, he gets along. He fits perfectly with the rest of our coaching staff. You know, and just to be able to sit back in those meetings last year and watch, Jason and Carson and Jordan, the quarterback coach, those guys, work with each other and bounce different ideas off of each other and come up with each particular game plan. Again, it was something that I hadn't been privy to before in my career. So, you know, there's not any surprises in terms of having Carson be the offensive coordinator. You know, we all know him very well. He was somebody that was very involved as a coach last year. He works hard. He's in the office super early in the morning, sticks around till late. And, you know, I don't expect there to be a lot of changes in our day-to-day operation of how things are going to be done, simply because our entire coaching staff works incredibly well together, and they're always giving input regardless of who it is. But again, any time that you have a change in title or who the offensive coordinator is, excuse me, there's going to be you know, a little bit of that personality that's going to rub off. So you know, our system is going to be the same. There's going to be tweaks here or there. We're always trying to improve. As I said earlier, we're trying to figure out what we didn't do so well last year and improve on it. So there will be those types of changes, but watching Jason and Carson work together and how their personalities meld, you know, it is a great match. And I know that we were excited when he signed on last year, and we're just going to continue to develop as an offense. You know, every single year we're going to improve, and this year will certainly be one of those cases.
Thanks, Mike. And Coach Moss, if I may follow up, I mean, what was it that made Coach Walsh what was it that made this the right time to move Coach Walsh into that spot?
I think Mike hit on it. I mean, the way we worked together last year, his knowledge of the game, his knowledge of our offense, the way he interacted with the players and the coaches, he's disciplined, he's organized, he's a great teacher, a communicator. And again, he is fiery, and, you know, he gets people's attention with when he speaks. And but at the end of the day, it's really how he got along with everybody, and he fit in. And, you know, his knowledge, and I think sometimes when you look to make a decision like this, and I'm one of those coaches that when I feel like a guy's ready to become a coordinator and call plays, I'm never going to stand in that guy's way. And that's what we're having with Carson. I mean, he's ready for this opportunity. He's coached a long time. I think he's coached over 16 years at various levels, and he's prepared for this opportunity. He's very deserving of the opportunity, but the fact that he's a teacher, a communicator, he's disciplined and organized are all things that bode well for him and what will make him ultimately successful. But, you know, those are the reasons we're excited about having him.
Does this change, what does this change for you, perhaps not having quite the same approach to the offense as last year? How does that affect your day-to-day approach to the job?
To be quite honest with you, I mean, you know, the way we approach every week will most likely be the same as it was last year. Ultimately, what it comes down to is Carson will be in charge of calling plays. I feel very strongly if you're ever going to have a coordinating title, you better have the play-calling ability with it. So that's one thing I was very very much wanted when I was going to alleviate myself from play-calling duty. And coordinating duty, I wanted a guy prepared and ready to do that. And so that day-to-day basis of coming up with a game plan will be the same. It's just calling the game will be on Carson's lap, and look forward to seeing what he does with that.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Dan Ruff. Please proceed.
Well, Jason, you sort of dovetailed into what I was going to ask you is, year two as your head coach, as being a head coach, what are some of the lessons you've learned, And are you better, not better, but, you know, is there a sense of comfort now going into year two? And I guess how that dovetails into the decisions that you just made with the OC.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said, how do you know you're prepared to do anything if you've never done it before? And that's kind of a head coaching thing. You feel like you're prepared, you feel like you're ready, but until you've actually done it, you don't know all of what it entails. There's a lot of communication, a lot of organizing that goes into it, a lot of thinking that goes into every single aspect of your football team. I mean, I have sleepless nights just thinking about the most mundane things, and it's because you're responsible for a lot of people and for things being successful. So, you know, getting used to that day-to-day grind mentally was the most challenging thing, being able to communicate with my coaching staff and ultimately talking to my players every day, the media. It's kind of the all-encompassing dealing with being a head coach. I feel like I'm going to be more prepared for that this year. And then the second part of your question, you know, me being able to step back from the coordinating duty, even though I'm still going to have a lot of the same responsibilities on offense, it's still going to be comforting to know with the preparation that's gone into our off season has been handled by Carson, Jordan, you know, Tim and Mike Gibson, and I've had far less to do with it. So, you know, it's allowed me to do some different things this off season to be more prepared in other areas and during the season as well. I mean, I'm going to be able to go into a different meeting because I'm not going to be installing. So aside from calling plays, I won't be installing in meetings either. So I'll be able to sit back and go to special teams meetings, go to defensive meetings, and have a different kind of focus on the day-to-day operations of our football club.
Was that the biggest – is that an adjustment having – or did you have time last year to go and sit in on those meetings?
No. I mean, I was the offensive coordinator, so I was installing all of our offensive schemes every day. And, you know, during the special teams meetings, I'm meeting with Mike and the other quarterback, going over our reads and whatnot. And so I had very few opportunities to go and sit in on anybody else's meeting. And then, you know, even when we're doing walkthroughs now, I won't really have to be as dialed into our walkthrough. I can go over to a defense walkthrough and watch them do it. You know, so it's really going to alleviate me from the day-to-day, day-to-day grind that I had as a head coach, coordinator. Carson will be doing and responsible for all those duties, and on top of it, play calling as well.
Yeah. Brock, I understand that Nick Bahar is going to minicamp with the Giants. Does that change anything about his status with the Eskimos?
No, it'll depend on what happens with him down in New York, but he's our first overall pick. We'll get a contract done, and as soon as he's free, whether that's now or down the road, he'll be an Eskimo.
I guess I shouldn't look too far into it because I guess the Giants are quickly earning a reputation of bringing a lot of Canadian college kids down to the minicamp. So this seems to be just in keeping with that.
We'll see. I mean, for Nate, if he does that and he has an opportunity, we'll cheer for him and we have his back. And selfishly, we want him in green and gold.
Gotcha. And one for Mike, if I may. You won't have Darrell Walker this year. I mean, can we expect to see more of you and Adarius, or is there anybody else in the receiving corps that you think they can step up and fill the void created by Darrell's absence?
I don't know if it's possible to see any more of me and Adarius. but obviously, Darrell is a great player, and that's a difficult spot to fill anytime you have somebody of his caliber that departs your team. But the thing that's great about our roster, about our team, and about our coaching staff is that, you know, the way we practice, guys get their work done. So we've had young guys on our roster last season that we have high expectations for to come in and do those same type of things that Darrell did for us. You know, it wasn't that long ago that Darrell was that practice roster guy in his first year and then exploded to become an all-star. And so we know with what we have on our roster and also eventually what we'll bring in down the road, you know, there's going to be opportunities for guys to step up. That's the great thing about this league is that you're never really given you know, a starting role right out of the gate. You have to come in, bide your time, and put in the work. And when you get that opportunity, you have to be able to take advantage of it. And so we have, you know, three or four guys, if not more, that, you know, we have high expectations to come in and do those exact same type of things. And it's going to be all about them showing up ready for camp and ready to make an impact for our team.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to return the meeting back over to Mr. Barrett.
We can just do one last round of questions for Brock, Jason, and Mike. Operator, if you could just let them know how to do that.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. There's a question from Chris for Larry. Please proceed.
Hey, guys. Thanks for doing this. Brock, just a question for you. I know we spoke last week leading into the draft about this, but just with the draft complete now, looking back on it, was it extra tough just to kind of come in on short notice, given how quickly you came in on the hire? Was it tough to kind of go through the draft on a two-week time frame?
A little bit, just because we couldn't have as many meetings as we wanted, but I've said it and I'll say it again, is Rob Ralph was amazing. I mean, he was the all-star of the draft and incredibly organized, Jason as well. So we met for two long, long days, and I brought the grading system from Ottawa, and those guys acclimated to it right away. So would we like more time? Of course, but I had seen almost every player when I was in Ottawa, and Jason and Rob had seen every player. So all we did was just combine our three minds and get a grade that we all agreed on, and we were ready to go. So we felt very prepared, and we were really happy with what we got.
Great. And just a question for Mike and Jason. I know the GM change came kind of short notice, very out of the blue, at least to us anyway. Does it impact you at all, and how do you deal with that just through the offseason and then going into the season? Do you think that'll impact you at all?
Go ahead, Mike. Your answer should be a lot shorter than mine.
To answer your question, no. It doesn't impact me directly in the sense of, you know, I'm a football player. I get paid to go out and play the position of quarterback. And so outside of that, you know, there's not really anything that I worry too much about. However, obviously, being a part of this organization, you want to make sure that your football club is being, you know, steered and controlled by somebody that you trust to make the right decisions to give you the best opportunity to go out and win a championship every single year. You know, and I've had an opportunity to have some conversations with Brock, and that combined with all the conversations that I've had with other people about him, that leads me to have nothing but confidence in where our team is headed. You know, he's very passionate and very knowledgeable about football in general, but certainly about the Canadian Football League. You know, he's from Montana, which so am I. So that certainly is a positive in my book. I know how they breed people down in Montana, and I know that they're first of all tough. They're hardworking, and they do whatever it takes to get the job done and for us to win. And so I know he's going to bring that into our organization. You've already seen through the draft, and as we just got done talking about, in such a short period of time, all the work that was done for that. And so, you know, we're in very, very good hands. And so I'm not concerned about that at all. And ultimately, the thing I'm concerned about is making sure that I'm prepared to go out and play and to do everything I can to get us ready to win. So that, I think that's the mentality that everybody has. But again, just based on the conversations that I've had so far with Brock and with other people, you know, I sleep easy at night.
And then I'll just say this. I mean, I obviously deal with Brock on a day-to-day basis more probably than anybody in our organization. And so really it's just about he and I just getting on the same page with kind of our vision of how we feel the club should get ran as far as football is concerned. And we've gotten on that page pretty quickly. So, you know, you'd like longer time to do that prior to a football season. But like Mike just said, we're both in the frame of mind. We're going to make this work. We're going to win games. And we're going to do it the way it best fits the organization. And like I said, for me personally, the bottom line is it's someone new to work with, but someone who I have a lot of the same traits and same feelings as far as how football teams are ran, and very excited about moving forward.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, guys. Good luck this season.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from Jeff Craver. Please proceed.
Hey, Brock, another transition for you, aside from changing jobs, is going from the East to the West. I mean, some could make an argument for each team in that division to either be the favorite or even win the Grey Cup this year. Are you excited for the challenge of building a team in that division?
Yeah, very excited. And basically, this day and age in pro football, every team has an opportunity. There's a lot of parity, and I think that's good for the league. The West is notorious for being a tough division, but I feel I'm a pretty competitive person, and I know Jason and Mike are. So what I'll say is this, is we're worried about the Edmonton Eskimos, and we're not going to worry about anybody else. We'll take care of our business, and we'll see how that plays out on the field.
Okay, and if I can follow up with a question for Mike. I mean, you've been in this division your whole career. Have you ever seen it as tough as it appears to be going into this year?
I mean, I don't know. In comparison to years past, the West is a very difficult division, and you know that plays out every single year. As Brock said, there's a ton of parity in our league, but at the end of the day, we got beat by a team that was in the East Division, and an Eastern team is who won the Grey Cup. So, you know, I don't worry about any other team. As Brock just stated, I worry about the Edmonton Eskimos and what we need to do to go out and play championship football. But in terms of what I think about the other teams, I think all eight teams can come out and beat you on any game day. So you got to be prepared to play regardless of who you're going up against. And I think that's just always our focus is we'll worry about ourselves. We'll make sure that we can go out and play our best football because I truly believe that if we play our best, it's better than anybody else's best.
Thanks.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I would now like to return the meeting back over to Mr. Barrett. Please proceed, sir.
Thank you. I'd like to thank Brock, Jason, and Mike for giving up their time today and participating on the call. The audio from this call will be made available within the hour. Just a reminder that season preview calls will continue tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern time with the BC Lions. Thanks again, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.